Happy Labor Day. It's kind of hard to party, isn't it? I mean, it's just weird that we're celebrating this holiday, but it feels a lot like last weekend. As we were just singing that lyric that says, "And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you," I'm kind of going, I appreciate that. I need a Jesus that carries me and catches me. There are times that I feel like I'm on my game and I'm doing what I need to do, and then there's the rest of my life when I'm just kind of going, I don't know what the next step is, and I feel crushed by it all. So here we are, and all of that this week has reminded me of that historic moment when God is transforming a group, a pile of people from slaves that they'd been slaves for generations, for hundreds of years, and then gives them liberty. And God is in the process of transforming these Hebrew people from slaves into a holy nation. And this historic moment is the moment that they cross the Jordan River. And for the first time, they've waited 38 years for this moment. They're now standing in the land that God is giving them. They're standing in the promised land. This is it. All eyes are looking around like, we're here. This is cool. This is crazy. And immediately, I gotta say, the promised land is not a place of daisies and strawberries where they just take delight in all the loveliness. The promised land was a place of battle, and the place where they crossed the Jordan River was right across from the city of Jericho. And Jericho just wasn't a city with walls. It was a city with walls that were so wide that to brag on their strength and their power and their prowess, they would actually have chariot races on the top of the wall. So at the top, where it was at its most narrow, vulnerable place, they could still get chariots past each other for a race. It was formidable. It was a fortress. And here are these people with little or no experience in doing battle. And they're not just up against some bad guys, but they're up against a fortress. And that's when they receive instructions from God. And God's instructions did not give them courage at all. Did not give them strength or hope, because here were the instructions. God said, okay, take some time and consecrate yourself for this holy task. And they're kind of nodding their head saying, okay, I can do this. And then march against the city. And when you get to the city, don't take any swords. A few of the soldiers, they can carry spears at the beginning. And already people are going, a few? But the main thing is, they're going to be followed by the Ark of the Covenant. This beautiful ornate chest that for the Jewish people is a symbol of God's presence. But for the people from Jericho, what it meant was nothing. It meant nothing to them. They were followed by the priests who carried trumpets, and then everybody else followed. And his instructions went on. And on the first day, I want you to march around the city. Okay. And so they assembled and they marched. And they marched in silence, and they followed the presence of God all day long, all around this city, and finally came back to where they started. And God said, that's good, that's enough, go home. And they went back to camp, and on day two, same thing. Day three, day four, day five, they continued on every day. You can imagine what's happening in Jericho. They're up on top of these massive walls, and they're sending down jeers and laughter. The crowd is getting bigger and bigger and bigger because this is hilarious. Ooh, be careful. The Israelites are going to march around us. Oh, I'm so afraid. And on day 7, finally God gave some instructions that were different. He said, march around the city in silence and march around a second time and a third time. The crowd is getting bigger on the wall. As a matter of fact, the laughs and the jeers that were really loud at the beginning, the longer the marching went on, I suspect got quieter and quieter and quieter. They marched all day long, miles and miles and miles, and they never said a thing. And in the silence of the 7th lap, and in the silence coming from the top of the walls of Jericho, God gave them these instructions. And when you finish that last lap, shout. Shout with all your might. Shout with everything you have. Priests, blow the trumpet. Shout, and here's the kicker, for I have given you the city. Impossible odds. You ever felt like you were up against impossible odds? Impossible odds were before them. Instructions from God that they couldn't possibly understand. Only He understood. And so they did the right thing and they obeyed and they marched and they marched and they marched and they marched. And then came the bit of change up where He says, now shout, for I've given you the city. And as they shouted at the top of their lungs, the walls began to rumble, the walls began to move, and they crumbled into nothingness. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us that when the walls went down, they fell inward. As a matter of fact, the ruins today show that the rocks have tumbled in. The very thing that held the people in safety from Jericho, the very thing that made Israelites feel like we don't have a chance because of the wall, became the very vehicle for them to gain entrance. That became the pathway. Finding hope is sometimes less about feeling faith and sometimes more about doing what you know to do. And so I'm going to interrupt this message and we're going to sing another song together. I want you to sing courageously, boldly. As a matter of fact, I know you're just sitting by yourself. I know it's just you and the fam. I know that you might be in Starbucks right now. I know it might be with headphones. But I'm going to ask you, if you can handle this, for you to not just sing the song in your heart, but sing it with your mouth. I'm going to ask you to sing the song, not just a little bit mumbly, but sing this song loud. I'm going to ask you to stand up where you are and sing these words. Don't allow the music to lead, but I'm challenging you to allow the Holy Spirit to do something in you, and I want you to sing with all your heart. You don't have to sing well, but you got to sing loud from the heart. Here's the truth that I want you to rest on, and that is this. He has never failed His people. Now, with that much said, sing this song.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But You have never failed me yet.
Juliana was 17 years old. It was Christmas Eve, and her mom were getting on a flight from Lima, Peru, on a Lanza flight 581, and only going a short distance. But it wasn't long after takeoff that they encountered the storm that was intense, the storm that was wild, the storm that within just a few first few moments also included thunder and lightning. She was white-knuckling this flight. She was concerned, and her mom and her spoke in concerned tones. They were speaking in German. They were German. She was born in Germany, but soon after being born, her parents, who were ornithologists, moved to Peru to study bird life in Central America. So she had grown up in Peru. She was comfortable in the Amazon forest. She was at home in that place, in that space. But she was not comfortable at this moment. And the lightning was all around the airplane. And at that moment, the worst possible thing did happen. One bolt of lightning hit that airplane. She actually saw it through the window, hit the wing. And the next thing she knows, Flight 581 is breaking up in midair, and she is sucked out of the airplane, still strapped into her seat, and she falls 9,000 feet into the Amazon jungle. 1.7 miles she free falls and lives to tell. She falls among the debris of the aircraft. She falls among human bodies. And she finds her way fighting to get free of the seat that she strapped into. And she finds her way struggling to get away from the debris and the body. Ironically, she found a Christmas present that her mom that did not survive the flight. But the Christmas present was a Christmas cake. She was injured badly. A lot of cuts and contusions, but the worst was a broken collarbone. It was the worst possible situation, but she was in the Amazon, and she was miles away from any place. And so the awfulness had only just begun. She did what she knew to do in the Amazon. She walked downhill. She walked downhill until she got to a stream, and she followed the river because she knew the river would lead eventually to the Amazon River. Her only hope was to get to a place where she could be found. And so she walked. She snacked slowly, eagerly on the Christmas cake. She stretched it out and it lasted 3 days, but hers was a 10-day hike. At some point, she got to a river large enough that using just one hand, she took some logs and she took some vines and she wrapped them into a raft of some sort so that she could float downstream. And she negotiated the river. 10 days later, after the crash, she sees a hut, a small house on the bank of the river, and she makes her way there, and she makes her way to the house, and there's nobody home. It's vacant. It's not even a house that's lived in. And so she crawls inside, and she sleeps for the night. Fortunately, the next morning, that house was visited by some loggers, and these timbermen found Julianne and rescued her, and she lived to tell the story of Lanza Flight 581. Those Hebrew people were up against impossible. There was no hope. They were free-falling into an abyss that they were not prepared for in any way. Something amazing about the story of Jericho is this. They met a woman who said, "I know who you are, and I know who your God is, and I have some valuable information. Inside these walls, the people's hearts melt with fear." When you're up against impossible, I need you to hear these words clearly, coming from my heart now, better than that, coming from the heart of God. The enemy's heart melts with fear, because of you. On your least prepared day, on that moment when you are ill-equipped for anything, when you're anything but a conqueror, on those days, the enemy trembles inside his fortress. And then on day 7, the moment comes when God says, shout! Shout with anything you have left in you, because I've given this to you. Don't know what the fortresses are that you're up against. I don't want to discount them or dismiss them. Those walls are solid, equipped for chariot races on the top in the most vulnerable spot, right? But I'm telling you, the very walls that hold you in place just may be the very things that become a ramp for you to move into God's promise for your life. Hang in there. This morning, as you listen to one more song, this morning as you're sharing some communion, as you take a bit of bread and as you take a bit of fruit juice or wine, I want to encourage you to not do it out of your weakness, but to do it out of a sense of boldness and courage that doesn't come from you or doesn't come from circumstances, that can only be explained by the presence of God in your world and in your life. And I would add hastily, if God is not a part of your presence in your life, then we need to talk some more. Message me right now and let's have a conversation of what it means to be a Jesus follower. Let's not talk about church, but let's talk about relationship with Him, with the King, with the One. Are you ready on this Labor Day weekend to be liberated? Do you want to not just survive circumstances, but do you want to thrive in the middle of all that? It's an option for you. Are you ready to commune, have a week that is filled with beauty and goodness, not because of circumstances, but because of your relationship with Him? And as you worship in this next song, and as you worship during communion, rest in His presence. Allow His worship to well up inside you, to rise inside you, and raise a hallelujah.